our study about talking about the authority of God. And this week, we're going to look at it in terms of the authority of God and His Word. How do we find God's authority in His Word? How do we see that? What does that look like? So that's what we'll be talking about this week. And our text is going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's Ron just read that. And so just in terms of a quick review, last time we looked at how we even know about God's authority. And we found that the names, the attributes, and the acts of God, all of these things testify to God's authority. And we also found that God chooses to reveal His authority through revelation and through delegation. So we talked about that. We saw God reveals His authority then through the world around us, through the written word that is given to us, and through the living word who walked among us, which is Jesus Christ, right? And we also talked about delegation a little bit. We found that God can reveal His authority through delegation. Now, delegated authorities are not God, right? But they've been appointed by God to serve a purpose that He chooses to have. And we'll be talking about that more as we go along in this series, okay? And we found that He puts them there for a reason. And if we oppose those delegated authorities, really we're opposing God. And then we talked about that this idea that the degree to which God reveals Himself to us, what He imparts to us, that we're responsible for in terms of being obedient to it. So we can't be held responsible for something He doesn't tell us. So we talked about that a little bit. And then we concluded that, hey, we said, listen, God is the unrivaled authority of the universe. And we can observe this fact when we think about the names, the nature, and the actions of God, and also as we encounter. So we can observe it through those things, but then we encounter that, His authority, through revelation, through the world around us, the Word, and through what we know of Jesus Christ when He was among us, and through delegation. So that's kind of what we talked about last time. Now this week, we're going to consider, like I said, God's authority as it relates to His Word. Now, for us to be able to successfully come under God's authority, then we have to be able to discern and perceive what it is that God wants us to do. How do we know? How can we carry out His orders if we don't know what they are, right? So it's important for us to know that, okay? And we need the ability to be able to distinguish godly principles while living in a culture that really is full of worldly principles. And sometimes that's not an easy task, okay? Because we're being constantly bombarded from every side by worldly principles. And so we need this anchor that's going to hold us and guide us in the right direction. So how do we determine the difference then between what God wants and what the world wants, right? We're just getting things from every angle. How do we know that? How do we find God's clear voice amidst all of the noise and amidst all of the onslaught that we go through? Well, the primary method that God chooses to communicate with us is through His Word, through the Bible. Scripture is the only authoritative guide for life. Now, isn't that a statement to make, right? That'll preach, right? People in church will go, amen, brother, preach it, right? Scripture is the authority of God. That'll preach to people who know God. Not so much to people who reject God, right? The culture at large is going to scorn thinking like that. They're going to say, you can't say that. What makes you think you can say that? You know, by whose authority? Remember that phrase? By whose authority do you say that? So, in a culture that we live in of relativism, where everything is relative to whatever's going on, the only thing that they're going to definitely drive a stake on is that there's no absolute truth. That they'll agree on. So that's where we find ourselves, is in a situation like that. And so when we hear scripture like John 14, 6, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. They go, that falls on deaf ears. They don't want to hear that. You can't say that. So that's what we're up against. Now, it looks bleak, but don't despair, okay? Because even among those who reject the Bible's authority, every once in a while you see this faint glimmer. There's a slight awareness that, you know what? Maybe there is something. Maybe we are failing in this idea of relativism. Maybe there really is something. Some people out there are beginning to look around and go, you know what? Maybe without a foundation here, a firm foundation for moral responsibility, we see our society crumbling every which way. And so some people are starting to scratch their heads a little bit, and even the skeptics are beginning to realize that there's a need for a basis of authority, something we can hang our hat on. There was one instance that I read about where Jay Leno, which I don't know what his spiritual condition is, but Jay Leno was interviewing Howard Stern on his program, and Howard Stern, as he famously does, went into this litany against God and everything, and his word, and even Jay Leno at that point predicted that at some point God's word was going to stab him in the heart, and that he was going to have an encounter with God. So even among those who are Christians, and again, I'm not sure what the status is on Jay Leno, but even there, so there's a glimpse of wondering out there, if you will, of hope that we're going down the wrong track. And you might say, well, that's for them. That's for non-believers. That's for non-Christians, right? But you know what? Even among Christians, those who profess certain things, even among them, it's beginning to be found that, you know what? We don't practice what we confess. Now, I didn't get some updated statistics. I was going to try because my computer failed on me, but I have some older statistics that I'll share with you here. There were some surveys that were made, and they determined that half the Protestants surveyed out there couldn't name 4 out of the 10 commandments. 40% say that they've hardly or never read the Bible. 63% couldn't distinguish scripture between the New Testament and the Old Testament. Then it went on and said 60% of Americans go to church at least once a month, but less than 12% of them ever read their Bibles. Like I said, these are older statistics, and I don't know what they look like today. But the point is that, and if you went out now and did a survey, you could probably prove that those who make up the church, those who profess to be believers, are not living functionally under the authority of the Bible. Now, what do I mean by that statement? Not living functionally under the authority of the Bible. Well, that means that for the most part, believers don't know what God's word says, nor are they practicing it. That's how you can reduce that. We don't know what it says, and we don't practice it. That's can be disturbing, except that we know that God is sovereign, right? So why is knowing, why is practicing scripture so important? Why is that? Well, Paul tells us here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. He says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We need to stand on the Word of God. We need to have the Word of God be our go-to source, our guide for life. That's where we got to go. Because when you look around the world, everybody has an opinion, right? And who's to say that your opinion is better than your opinion? And so we have to go someplace of authority. Now, he also says that there's bad and evil out there, right? And because there's bad and evil, in verses 13 and 14, right? He says, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. We need to look at God's Word to be able to discern and hear His voice. And the things that we find there, we need to expect that the things that we find in God's Word are going to oppose the standard operating procedure of the world. The world's going to go, no, that's not how we do things. But that's how God does things. And that's what we need to pay attention to. Now, in John chapter 3, verse 19, we'll turn there for a moment. John chapter 3, verse 19. And it says this. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And verse 20, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. And so the world, when they hear what God has to say, they're going to say, oh, we're going to run away from that. They don't want to hear what God has to say, because it's like a light shining on them, and they want to be like cockroaches and run and hide with their evil deeds, right? So it should not be surprising to us then, when we look at the Word, we find the things that we're supposed to do are going to oppose what the world stands for. So don't let that discourage you. So how do we live functionally under the authority of Scripture? Well, we're going to look at five things this morning that are going to help us to understand what it means to do that. And so if we go back to verse 14, we'll get the clue to the first one, right? It says, but you must continue. And that's in King James. If you have an ESV, it says, but as for you, continue. And the key word there is continue. You know what happens is that when things go south in a hurry, what happens? People have a tendency to panic, right? They have a tendency to, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now? Because this has happened. So when things go bad, people aren't always keeping in their right mind, and they do perhaps stupid things. What we have to do is approach Scripture with faithfulness. Continue. That word continue gives us the idea that it's something that we need to not just jettison at the first hint that there's something going wrong. We have to remain steadfast and faithful to what God tells us. There's always something new out there. That if you look in, within Christian circles, what's the latest fad, right? There's always something new happening, and there are some people who chase after the latest thing, and they might write a book about it. They might do this about it. And so they're always chasing after something. Well, Colossians chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Let's look at that for a moment. Colossians chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, introducing into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. We have to stick to what we know. Don't be chasing around somebody who might have fallen into this idea of being puffed up because he received something special from God and that kind of thing. We need to be careful about chasing the person and remain faithful to Scripture. The Bible is an inexhaustible source. You can't say, listen, I've read the Bible, and I know everything there is to know about the Bible, now I'm going to go see what this guy has to say. All right? You're going to get in trouble. That's where we're going to get into trouble. We need this inexhaustible source of things that we can mine and learn from the Word of God. All the essentials of our faith and of our life are found right here. We don't have to go anywhere else. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 for a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against another. Not to think beyond what is written. There's plenty written right here that we'll never get it all. We won't get a percentage of it. So don't go chasing other people looking for an answer, especially when things go south. If we are to functionally come under the authority of God and His Word, we have to keep coming faithfully to the Scriptures. Now we also have to approach Scripture with conviction. Look again at verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. And been assured of. If you have the ESV, it says, and are convinced of. You see, we have to take God's Word. When we read God's Word, when we study God's Word, it needs to have that effect on us that we become convinced and assured of what it's saying. Now, we can be all very knowledgeable and learn all this Scripture and learn all these facts about God. But if it never brings conviction to our heart, what good is it? And then you have the other opposite side of that, is that you might have somebody who has all kinds of conviction and passion, and it's not based on anything. It's just based on what he thinks. Neither one of those are really good, because one is well-informed, but it's not wise, and the other one is just foolishness, because you're just spouting what you think. And there's plenty of that going on. Verses 5 through 7 say this, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins and led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. No conviction there. It doesn't matter. So we have to be careful and guard against that. If we're to functionally come under the authority of God and His Word, we have to work to learn its truths, its principles, its doctrines. And you know what? The process of this learning, it's not complete until it brings conviction. We need to be convinced and convicted of what it says so that we can stand, right, when the time comes. The third one, we have to approach Scripture with reflection. This is an encouragement to consider those people who have helped us in our walk with the Lord. For one thing, look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul writes, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your mother Lois, and your grandmother Lois, and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. So Paul is talking to Timothy here, and he's saying, listen, I know you come from a good background, right? I know that these had an influence on your life, and I know that what they taught you was based on the Scriptures. How do we get to where we are? Where are our roots? So let's consider where our roots are, how we came to be in the position that we find ourselves in. More on this. Let's continue. We're to remember our leaders, those who speak God's word to us. We're to consider their way of life and the outcome of their lives. Perhaps even imitate some of the things that they do. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. It's not profitable for people to ignore what they see, to not take in consideration someone who's living a godly life, someone who's setting a good example, and then just ignore that. Not a good idea. How about back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. Paul is encouraging them, look, this is what I'm giving you. These are sound words based on Scripture. He's saying, go, listen to these things, think about these things. Our learning experience, right, in addition to studying and knowing Scripture, it involves the life lessons that we experience and those life lessons that we see and learn from other people and what they're going through. Okay? And so, a lot of people have a mentor. And they might say, well, I have this guy. And it's good to be accountable to someone. It's good to be able to talk to someone. A lot of people have a mentor. And they go to them and ask them questions. What do you think about this? How about this? Right? Someone that you can go to. That's very important. And look at the way things play out with them. Now, there's good and bad when you start looking at other people, right? Go ahead, go on the internet and Google pastors of megachurches or something and read the horror stories that you find. You know, listen, I'm not standing in judgment of them, but some of these pastors live in multi-million dollar mansions, they have bodyguards, and you know, the whole deal, okay? Personally, I might have a little bit of a problem with that, but maybe they're okay. I don't know. I'm just saying is that you can look at those lives and you can learn things. And there's good and there's bad. How do we know the difference? Word of God, right? Can you justify it with the Word of God? Okay, you're good to go. Right? So we have to reflect on what we know. Where does this come from? How did I get to where I am? Okay, so use that. Spend some time dwelling on God's word and his authority. And so we need to continue to reflect, to think, to meditate, to dwell on God's word and consider, how did I get to where I am? Now, what does that mean in my life? Now, another way that we can do that, for us to have God's authority ruling in our lives, is that we need to hold God's word in reverence. We need to honor it. We need to show respect for God's word. Because God's word didn't have its origins in man, did it? Man penned it out, but Scripture clearly tells us that it was breathed out by God and that man simply wrote it. Okay? So its origins aren't from man. And you can say, well, just a man wrote that, and I can have a different opinion than him, right? No, we find Scripture testifies to itself that it was given to us by God, that it was God-breathed. Verse 16 confirms that. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So that's how we know that. It wasn't a brilliantly inspired man. It was God. Even Jesus, we find, when he went and he was tempted by Satan, we found the account in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Remember, Satan came, tempted him, and he threw all these things in front of Jesus. And Jesus replied to him, answered him each time with Scripture. He used the authority of Scripture. And what did Satan do? He gave up and he had to leave. So even Jesus used it. So God's word expresses his will for man, and it makes it clear, his word makes it clear, that we are to submit to him who breathed it out. He's the one that made it. We need to submit to him. Submit to that. In Psalm 138, verse 2, it says this: I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. God even holds his word in higher esteem than his name. Why? Because his word tells us so many things about him that explain things about him. We'll comment on that a little bit more as we go on here. So if we're to functionally come under the authority of God and his word, we are to hold God's word in reverence. We are to honor it and say, you know what? That is something important. Now, we're not to worship his word. No, no, no. That's not what that means. But we need to understand it comes from God, and we need to pay attention and give it the honor that it's due. All right, and then finally, if we're to come under the authority of God and his word, then we have to be teachable. We have to be teachable. If we're going to have a hard head and a rebellious attitude, then that's not being teachable. We have to be willing to submit ourselves in the sense that we're teachable. Now, four things that Scripture can do for us. And we find them here in verse 16, right? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So it's there to teach us, to reprove us, correct us, and train us. So if we're to live practically under the authority of God's word, then we have to allow it to do its work to instruct us. We need to consistently be in God's word, studying it, thinking about it, dwelling on it, meditating on it. Allow it to challenge us. Don't just say, I can't do that. Let it say, well, why can't I do that? Maybe I can do that. God, help me to do that. So no opinion, no viewpoint, no pet dogma that we might hold personally to ourselves should be off limits to that two-edged sword of God. Right? We can't look at it and say, oh, no, we're not going to talk about that one. All right? That's not what we want to do. We have to be open and teachable to no matter what that sword comes in and attacks. That's what we need to do. So if we're to functionally come under the authority of God and his word, we are to let God's word teach us. Now, everybody says, you have no idea what my life looks like. The time constraints that I have, the pressure that I'm under, the things that I have to do. How am I ever going to find time to read and study God's word? Well, I don't know, but you've got to figure it out. Because it's imperative that you get into the word. Because what happens is, you're too busy, you put it off, and then something happens. There's a need that arises, and guess what? You're unprepared. Why are you unprepared? Because you haven't spent any time in the word. So we need to prepare ahead of time, that way when the storm comes, we're already there. We already have some basis to act on. The world is determined to live under its own authority. Look around. It takes you 2 seconds to figure that out. That's why nobody can get anything done. So that makes it even harder for us, because we're swimming in this tsunami of debris that's everywhere and coming at us, and we're swimming in it. Makes it difficult. All the more important why we need to get our feet into the Word. We have to approach God's Word with faithfulness, with conviction, with reflection, with reverence, and we need to remain teachable while we do it. That's not an easy order. That's hard. But God will help us. Commit to it. Start day by day, little by little. The challenge is for us to turn to the Word of God. Why? Because it's clear. It's the objective expression of God to us, given to us specifically. And it explains God's authority to us, His authoritative will. In other words, He has something for us, and He knows best, and He has the authority, so it's His authoritative will. And that's the message that He has for us. And if we're to live under His authority, then we have to know what He said. And it can have an impact on our lives. We just need to try it. You won't be disappointed. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You that we have the privilege of being recipients of Your Word. And Lord, we understand that people who do not know You, who don't understand who You are, they either can't receive the things that You have for them, or it's very hard for them to receive the things that You have for them. But pretty much they can't receive it. In order to receive what You have, a relationship has to be established with You. And that can only be done through confessing Christ as Savior and understanding that our sin keeps us from You. And the only way that we can get that sin barrier out from between You and us is by confessing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that we were unable to take care of that sin on our own. But You did, because You loved us and You had mercy on us. And if we simply believe it, confess it, then You promise that we'll have relationship with You. And so we thank You for the Word that You've left behind for us that we can use as a guide for our life. It's more than a guide. It's an instruction manual. It's the facts. But Lord, we have to know what it says. And as we learn to know what it says, then we begin to operate under Your authority in a functional way. And for that, we are grateful. And we truly thank You for giving us this tremendous gift. Help us, Lord, to recognize it for what it is and place value on it and incorporate it into our lives. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. So as we go to